butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Well, school is wrapping up and summer vacation season is right around the corner. Do you know what books you'll pack before you hit the beach? Or the hammock in the backyard, for that matter? Well, join us for a Reading Rainbow for Adults this hour. We'll get some recommendations for new books to peruse this summer from an NPR book reviewer, and we'll welcome your questions and your suggestions, too. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Memorial Day, Monday, May 26th. What books do you plan on reading this summer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll talk about mainly new books, but I'm interested too if you're planning on rereading a classic, any genre. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Alan Chews, NPR book reviewer and voice of books, author of many novels and collections of short stories, and a writing teacher at George Mason University. Good morning. Thanks a lot for being with us. So what are you reading right now?
Well, right now I'm reading to make up my summer reading list. So I've got a couple of three first novels I'm putting together in a little audible package, I guess you'd call it. First novel from a first-time writer out of the island nation of Tasmania, which I guess it's island state of Australia, I should say, called The Roving Party. The guy's name is Rowan Wilson, and it's set in early 19th century Tasmania. It's about an Aboriginal fellow who's been raised in the white part of the culture, and he's called on by a tribal hunting party that wants to get him to, they want to draft him to go out and hunt other Aboriginals, and he's caught between two worlds, and it's really an extraordinary first novel. Reminds me of early Cormac McCarthy, terrific sentences and wonderful visual action. It's rough, it's violent. But it's also got an underlying mythological structure, too, that's just carry you along in all levels.
Oh, my goodness. So it remind me, Kate, the title and the author?
The Roving Party by Rowan Wilson.
Okay.
And along with that, I've got two other first books that I'm going to put in that little piece. One is called Snow in May, and it's by a Russian emigre, a young woman who came to the U.S. from Siberia at the age of 15. Actually, she emigrated from Siberia to Alaska. Now she lives in Texas. And in the interim, she picked up an MFA degree at NYU in New York. And she's put together a wonderful collection of short stories about, I guess, at one level, you could call it Real Housewives of Siberia, but it's also about a young girl coming of age in a family in Siberia, and it's just beautifully composed. It's the best book of stories that's coming out this summer, I think. And that's the kind of book that I'm looking at to recommend for summer reading.
Well, Snow in May is an apt title for Wisconsin, too. So, but in any case,
it's 80 degrees here almost.
Now it's nice. Now summer has arrived, except along Lake Superior. You should see the ice in Lake Superior. Uh-huh. But tell me the name of the author of Snow in May.
Her name is Ksenia Melnick, M-E-L-N-I-K.
Okay. All right. So, so that's the second one. Did you say there was a third one?
Yeah, the third one is a first novel by a young woman named Rachel Weaver, and it's called Point of Direction, and it's about a young woman who's on her own in Alaska, tries to make her way because of a terrible event she's trying to put behind her, and she hooks up with a fisherman, and they together take residence in a Coast Guard lighthouse off the coast of Alaska, and they have to spend the winter together. And what happens is rather beautifully narrated and really exciting and interesting.
Oh, wonderful! So these are the three first novels of various authors that that you're recommending. When you mentioned that this is the type of story that you're recommending for this summer, what did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, as far as mainstream fiction, I mean, I've got a batch of thrillers I'd like to recommend also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read all across the menu. I mean, sometimes you want a Big Mac, sometimes you want to eat filet, I guess.
That's right.
And So I've got a lot of thrillers I can recommend if you'd like me to do that.
Yeah,
right now,
sure, sure. So what I guess what would you call this this genre that of these
well,
novels?
Well, I call it mainstream.
Mainstream, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the mainstream. How about some thrillers?
Well, Alan First, who is the probably the reigning spy novelist in America right now, has got a new book out in his Europe on the Verge of World War II series. This one's called Midnight in Europe, and it focuses on some folks who are trying to smuggle arms from Russia to the defenders of the Spanish Republic during the Spanish Civil War. Really quite terrific. And another night title, Night in Shanghai by a woman named Nicole Moniz, M-O-N-E-S, about Shanghai as the Japanese are about to take over China.
I guess it's more thrilling at night.
Yeah, well, at night in Shanghai at that time in the mid-30s is filled with nightclubs and gangsters, and also very interesting little understory that runs through that is the nightclub owners gathered a wonderful group of American black jazz musicians who played in the clubs, and one of those musicians is one of the main characters in the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as science fiction or fantasy goes, I want to recommend a Douglas Preston novel. It's called The Kraken Project, about a computer program on a ship that's supposed to be going to one of the moons of Jupiter that goes off track and escapes into the internet.
Oh, my goodness.
And plans to wreak havoc on world culture for wanting to send it to such a desolate place as a moon of Jupiter. That's The Kraken Project, K-R-A-K-E-N, by Douglas Preston. And straightforward thrillers, Joseph Finder, F-I-N-D-E-R, novel called Suspicion, about a history writer who is down on his luck and discovers they're going to kick his daughter out of a fancy prep school in Boston where they live. And he gets a loan from the father of his daughter's best friend, which turns out to be Mexican cartel money. And he gets pulled into a terrible, terrible dilemma between the cartel on one hand and DEA agents on the other. That's called Suspicion. And of course, behind all of these is the George R.R. Martin series, Song of Fire and Ice, that I think a lot of people are getting caught up in by watching Game of Thrones. And that's, a long reading project. It's something like 600 pages. And that's something, you know, people may want to assign to themselves to read, give themselves more background about the TV series.
We'll take a short pause and check our weather forecast for this Memorial Day holiday. And we will welcome your questions for our guest. Are you looking for a book or more to read this summer? What are you reading right now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are getting summer book recommendations from Alan Chews, NPR book reviewer and voice of books. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, with Memorial Day being the unofficial kickoff to the summer vacation season. We thought it would be wise to compile our summer reading list. What books are you looking forward to reading this summer? Are you looking for recommendations of a particular genre, mystery or romance or something else. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, I've mentioned this before on the show. I do a lot of reading during the year, all year round, but it's usually nonfiction books because that's normally the subject matter of our talk shows here. And I have very little time for pleasure reading and nonfiction, but I'm resolving to change that this summer, and I'm looking for recommendations for novels. What's the best novel you've read recently? What would you recommend? Our guest is Alan Chews, NPR book reviewer and voice of books, author of many novels and collections of short stories. His most recent book is An Authentic Captain Marvel Ring and Other Stories. Well, that sounds intriguing, Alan. What's the Authentic Captain Marvel Ring all about?
Well, it's a varied collection. The title is a very short piece that has a young boy, perhaps it was me, looking into this ring and seeing worlds upon worlds upon worlds in this through this tiny little aperture. It's got some stories about contemporary American life, and I also go back into the history, mainly American history, and find some characters, historical figures who've intrigued me. I have a story about Ben Franklin, who, when he was 17 years old and on his way to Philadelphia to take his famous job at a printer's shop, was sailed off course and landed on the beach at my hometown, Perth Amboy, New Jersey, overnight, and I made a little story out of that, his encounter with some of the local people. And I have a story about Ansel Adams, the wonderful American photographer, and the making of one of his iconic photographs. So I say it also has a lot of contemporary figures, too, and a family story or two.
So are these historical fiction short stories, or are you making it all up?
Two or three of them are historical, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest are contemporary. And a long story about my mother's last hours, and it's out of family history.
Yeah, that sounds touching. So what do you think makes a good summer vacation read?
Well, you know, I think people have different tastes, but somebody may want to, I read across the menu, somebody might want to do fast food fiction only, but I think that doesn't give you the kind of nourishment you need, the kind of intellectual nourishment that sustains you over the course of a couple of months. So I think, you know, everything from science fiction and some fantasy for George R. R. Martin fans, thrillers, you know, criminal life, underlife of America or Europe, and those books that really try to explore the nature of life in America as part of life on Earth, as part of life in this universe. I mean, that's the broadest, most serious kind of thing. And, you know, those tend to be, for the most part, longer novels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tolstoy, or I'm rereading Huckleberry Finn this summer because I'm going to teach it in the fall. I mean, that's a wonderful book to read at different times in your life because it starts out as a kid's adventure story when you're a kid, and as you get older, it becomes much more a serious book using the kids as a way of understanding that turning point in American life, in American history, when we began slowly to move away from thinking of slaves as chattel and trying very hard to think of America as a country where everyone might possibly be equal.
So
that's a broad range of things, and I guess because I read all the time, I just assume everybody wants to read all the time, and it may well be that they do, but rereading is, I think, is really difficult for a lot of people because they work all day and they want to relax at night when they pick up a book, and,
right?
They tend to go for pure entertainment, but you know, some of the best thrillers and science fiction is pure entertainment, but also teaches us some things about the world, particularly science fiction. I mean, it's a kind of literature of ideas. And in that way, you were talking about nonfiction. nonfiction always educates us, I think, but fiction at a certain level, particularly the subject matter that you find in, say, science fiction, not only educates us, but entertains us at the same time. So,
you're saying nonfiction is not entertaining.
Well, it's as entertaining as the writer is good as a narrator. So I think, you know, nonfiction is really, in America today, is a wonderful strain of writing, and because the best writers have learned how to write good narrative,
yeah,
which is what matters in most fiction.
I have a tweet from Matthew who says, "While I may not be your average bookworm, do you have any recommendations for my graphic novels palette?"
Well, you know, I'm going to review a graphic novel later in the summer. Jules Pfeiffer, who is our first great modern serious cartoonist, has a graphic novel out. It's his first one. It's called Kill My Mother.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's a story of family life in L.A. I haven't read it yet, so I don't know exactly. I can say more than that, but it's apparently got a lot of private eyes and femme fatales and such. So I'm going to give it a good try. I tend to read prose rather than look at pictures, but I'm going to give this one a good shot.
Well, good. I'm just curious if there has been a graphic novel from, you know, the recent past that you think was notable.
Well, as I said, that's my one.
Oh, that's
one
the
flaw.
First.
Yeah, that's my flaw. I really haven't paid much attention to them.
Well, I don't call it a flaw. I haven't looked at those either. But all right, so that one's one that's coming out. Are there when we were talking about the rereading? I'm just curious. I mean, I think you told the story beautifully about Huckleberry Finn and how you might get something new from a book like that as you get older, as you reread it. But do you think it's worthwhile to reread classics?
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. I mean, that's the definition of a classic. It's a book that survives through time, and the original situation that brought the book to life is one way to read it. You learn about a certain time and place, but the book also applies its own values and morals to your own time and place, to our own time and place, and so we get to some perspective on our own way of living by looking to Homer or Tolstoy or certainly Shakespeare. Those books cast a broad light on life through hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
Yeah. Well, what is coming out this summer that you haven't even picked up yet that you're looking forward to checking out?
Well, there are a couple of interesting books. I'm reading July books now, and I'm about to start reading August books because, you know, we were pretty far ahead in our deadlines. There's a novel, actually, by another Tasmanian writer, the tiny state on the island off the coast of Australia has produced that wonderful book, The Roving Party, this spring. And this summer, there's a novel called The Narrow Road to the Deep North by a Tasmanian writer named Richard Flanagan, which I believe is set during the Japanese occupation of South Asia, so I'm looking to read that, and I've got a novel from a Pakistani writer named Kamila Shamsi, whose work I've read before. This is a new one about the rise of the Turkish occupation by the British in 1914, and I think it goes to World War scenes out of World War II, and then into the heart of British rule in India and what will eventually become Pakistan. And I've got a spy novel that's also up for August by a British writer named Charles Cumming. It's called A Colder War. I've read one or two of his books, and he's quite terrific. This one seems to be dealing with Iranian agents that the British are trying to track. And then I'm looking to the autumn also. September, October, always big book months in the publishing industry. there's a novel called The Moor's Account by Leila Lailami, which is a history of the European conquest of America, a fictionalized history of the European conquest of America. And I'm looking forward to that. There's a novel called Crazy Horse's Girlfriend by a new writer, a woman named Erica Wirth. I mean, just the title makes it tremendously interesting, I think. Crazy Horse's Girlfriend. It's the first novel.
Yeah, why? You know, we have just a minute before a news break, and then
sure. We'll
be continuing. But when you say that the fall or September is a big month for publishing, you know, why is that?
Well, it's an old tradition in publishing. I mean, it's been kind of watered down now. Every month has to be a big month in publishing because they like to make their big numbers now that they're all owned by corporations. But traditionally, the fall season is the big season, and if you have a new book, that's when you want to bring it out. But I say that's a kind of fading tradition. But, there'll be new novels by just a bunch of people that American readers tend to follow. The Japanese writer Haruki Murakami has a new novel coming out, and there's a couple of other big novels.
Well, we will talk about some other novels that we may want to pack when we go on summer vacation this summer. What's on your summer reading list? We're getting some recommendations from our guest, Alan Chews. We'd love your recommendations, too, or your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Well, it's a reading rainbow for adults this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Summer is right around the corner, and we are talking about some of the new books that we can pack up when we head out for our summer vacations this year. We are talking with a guest book reviewer from NPR, and we wonder what is on your summer vacation reading list. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Monday, May 26th. Our guest is Alan Chews, NPR book reviewer and voice of books, writing teacher at George Mason University, author of many novels and collections of short stories. His most recent book is An Authentic Captain Marvel Ring and Other Stories. I'm going to be heading to Door County, Wisconsin in about, I think it's 2 weeks. And I'm going to be spending some time doing a lot of stuff outdoors, but I want to just plop in a deck chair or a beach chair and read something that is fun, but enlightening in some way, thought-provoking. Alan, any recommendations for maybe an elevated beach read?
Well, I recommended Huck Finn. I think a very serious and long novel, American Tragedy by Theodore Dreiser. It's one to talk about nonfiction narrative. It's he took the kernel of his story from a murder trial in upstate New York at the turn of the century, and it's a enormously thrilling and gripping novel about a young man on the rise who falls in love with a working girl in the factory, the family shirt factory where he's set to work by a rich relative. But he really wants to marry his distant cousin, who's the daughter of the factory owner, and he plots to murder the factory girl when she turns up pregnant. And American Tragedy is one of the great American novels. I mean, Dreiser's not a great stylist. In a way, he's kind of like Stephen King, sentence by sentence. It's kind of muddy and junky, but you take him by the scene, he's an extraordinary writer, really holds your attention and with a laser-like focus on the evolving story.
Let me welcome in a caller. Peggy in La Crosse has a suggestion. Hi, Peggy.
Good morning. Hi. Thank you for the program this morning. It's really good, and I'm glad that you're a fan of the Douglas Preston novels. I'll be looking forward to reading that one this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Two that I would like to suggest for summer reading that are on my list are the new Daniel Silva novel.
Oh, yeah. I'm
called
a big
The
fan
Heist.
Of Silva.
Yeah, really, very good. He writes in such a painterly style. It's really wonderful to see those stories kind of appear on the canvas of the page.
Right, and his main character, who's an Israeli secret agent who poses as a restorer of great paintings, right?
Yes, it's really quite wonderful. And another novel I'm looking forward to is Steve Barry. He writes a series with a character called Cotton Malone, and his new novel is called The Lincoln Myth, and they're quite fun adventure escapist novels to read over any season of the year, but I find them enjoyable in the summertime.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know his work, although that novel, the Lincoln novel, just appeared on my desk last week.
Okay. The Cotton Malone character is an ex-governmental, not spy, but kind of a James Bond type of character, and he is retired to own a bookshop in Copenhagen, and so he kind of gets involved in these international intrigues, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Peggy, the first one you recommended was called The Heist?
The Heist, yes, by Daniel Silva.
And that's about an art heist?
Yes, and I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I haven't read it yet.
It opens with a stolen Caravaggio painting, and the Israeli secret agent is on the trail of the people who stole it.
Yes, and I'm wondering if you could suggest any books kind of along the lines of Simon Winchester style writing. You're talking about nonfiction writers who have a good narrative, and Simon Winchester is a favorite nonfiction author of mine. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions along that line of writing or storytelling.
I
will hang up and take any comments you have off the air.
As I say, that's my, I tend to do almost all fiction. There are some wonderful biographers out there. And as Winchester has done, terrific books about culture. But I tend to read mostly fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a fiction book that's, a story like Simon Winchester's style of writing about culture? I think that's what she's looking for, is a fiction mm-hmm. book that might please her along those lines.
Well, if you've never read East of Eden by John Steinbeck, that is the great, the great American novel of the last half of the 20th century, because it talks about the clash of New England and California culture, and it focuses on the rise of several generations of this California family in the Salinas Valley, and you certainly get a deep and rather beautiful sense of American life as it moves from coast to coast over the course of the 19th and early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
East of Eden's a book I reread a lot.
I'll put that one on the list too. We're talking about a lot of thrillers. Are thrillers and mysteries the same thing, or what's the difference?
Yeah, I tend to categorize them in a way that probably maybe many people don't. But mysteries, science fiction, spy novels. Those are the great entertainment is the way I see those. And the best of them, it's like Peggy mentioned Douglas Preston. Also, it's like carrying around a little movie between book covers. Just really keeps your attention in a very, very gripping way. But many of them, like Alan First's novels or like this Nicole Moniz novel, Night in Shanghai, take historical material and really instruct a reader about a period and a way of life gone by in a way that nonfiction books try to do, but they do it, I find it, much more entertaining way.
Yeah. Bill on Facebook says he just bought the 1958 book, mm-hmm. Aku Aku, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, about the exploration of Easter Island at a garage sale. good find, Bill. He says he read it 50 years ago for high school and thought it was just a really fun book to read.
Be interesting to see how it seems to him now.
Yeah, I guess you can find books all over the place, even at garage sales. Let's take another call. We have Sandy in Woodstock, Illinois. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to suggest Taylor Stevens. Her book, The Informationalist, is very fun reading and may teach you some things about another continent that you may have been aware of but didn't fully understand. And her latest book is The Doll. And again, both are fun adventure novels that are easy reading.
Mm-hmm. Say that title again and the author's name.
The author's name was Taylor Stevens. And it's her first book was The Informationalist.
Yeah.
And her latest book, she's written three. Her latest one is The Tao.
The Tao, as in philosophy.
D-O-L-L.
All right. Thank you very much, Sandy. Appreciate that. That's not someone you're familiar with, Alan.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We are talking with Alan Shoes, NPR book reviewer and voice of books, writing teacher at George Mason University and author of many novels and collections of short stories. We are talking about summer reading and books to put on our summer reading list. What's on yours, or what questions do you have? Do you need a suggestion or a recommendation? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Memorial Day, Monday, May 26th. Well, summer's unofficial start is upon us, and we are talking about the books that we might want to pack along with us as we head off to our summer vacations. What's on your summer reading list? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you reading something right now that you would recommend for the rest of us? Do you know that a book is coming out this summer that you can't wait to get your hands on? Let us know. And if you have any questions about different books of different genres that you might want a recommendation for, our guest Alan Shoes, NPR book reviewer, can help out as well. You know, I said packing up books for our summer vacation. What about e-books? Is there anything new out just for e-readers? If we're looking for more portable ways to read this summer, or just give us your thoughts on e-reading as opposed to the just reading that bound book, Alan.
Well, I'm not a big e-reader, but the e-reader revolution is certainly upon us, it's making for turmoil in the book industry, as you probably have read about the battle that's going on now between Hachette, the book corporation, and Amazon. Amazon wants to extract more of a profit from e-books, and Hachette is the company they've decided they're going to try and break on this question. I think that's probably all going to end up in the courts eventually. But that's a harbinger everybody sees e-books as the future. E-book sales, I think, went down slightly in the last couple of months, but that's probably just a little dip in the rising popularity of e-books. Frankly, I love to read a real book,
mm-hmm.
But I do understand, that people probably like younger than I am pick up a an e-reader or pick up their phones and start reading away as if it was just the most natural thing in the world. And that's great, because what it shows you is that narrative, great narrative, whether fiction or nonfiction, is always going to be with us, and we're going to be looking at it and reading it in whatever form new technology presents to us.
Here's a book on your list of suggestions that you provided us that intrigues me. Maybe I missed it. I don't remember us talking about Next Life Might Be Kinder.
Oh, yes. That's a wonderful new novel by Howard Norman. Howard Norman he's a very serious, but at the same time, very, very funny and kind of eccentric comedian about the most serious things in life. And he has a writerly obsession with Nova Scotia. Almost all of his books take place in Nova Scotia. And this one is about a man in Nova Scotia whose wife is murdered by a hotel bellhop while they're on their honeymoon.
Oh, goodness.
And she begins to appear to him on the beach as he takes walks at night in his state of grief. And it is really quite a wonderful novel. I recommend it to anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a novel, if people have been following the Iowa novels of Marilyn Robinson, about a family of this preacher in Iowa who deals with major questions of belief and disbelief and life and death. And this new one is called Lila. It's the third novel in this Home in Iowa series by Marilyn Robinson. That's coming out in September, but again, at that same level as the Howard Norman novel, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Let me bring in another caller, Mary Ann in Wisconsin Rapids. Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi.
Hey, Mary Ann. Good morning.
I have just started reading a new novelist. Her name is Elizabeth Gunn, and she writes little mysteries about a detective in Minnesota. His name is Jay Kynes, and she does a really good job. It's a woman writing about from a man's point of view, mm-hmm. and he's funny, and he doesn't seem to know where he was born and who his parents are or anything, and apparently he's part Native American, and he's not sure, mm-hmm. but they're really good little stories. I'm on my third one right now. They're just small. You know, they're, maybe 300 pages. I was looking here. This one's only 183 pages. So they're real quick read, but they're good.
I'm not familiar with her work, but thanks for the recommendation. It's Gunn, G-U-N-N?
G-U-N-N, right. Uh-huh. Yeah. I guess she originally lived in Minnesota, and then she moved to Florida, and I think it said she's living in Tucson, Arizona right now. So she and her husband go deep sea diving and things like that. Not in Arizona, though. But
but anyway, Marianne, is there Minnesota speak in the language?
There is some of the other people. Yes, some of the people he works with. Yeah, it'd be
like it. All right, thank you very much, Marianne, for that recommendation.
Thanks, Marianne.
We have Sue emailed several historical fiction suggestions. Mm-hmm. The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Yes.
What do you know about that one?
Yes, that turned out to be a huge hit. I mean, it just one of those books that just the publisher put out there, and it caught on with reading groups. And actually, there's a movie in the works. There's a bookstore owner in Coral Gables, Florida, named Mitchell Kaplan, who's a huge force in book life in southern Florida. He's one of the major forces behind the Miami Book Fair, which is one of the great American book festivals. And he's also started a little production company, and I know from speaking to him that he's got the option on that, and they're moving along towards making a film of it.
Oh, no, that's going to be interesting. She has a number of others here. I'll just kind of whip through them. Pillars of the Earth, a trilogy by Ken Follett.
Follett, yes. Yeah, that's a very popular series set in medieval Europe. And now he's started teaching us about modern history also.
And she also, I guess she's a fan because she also recommends Pillars of the Earth and, I'm sorry, I just said Fall of the Giants and Winter of the World. Mm-hmm. And then she says, for a much lighter read, Breakfast with Buddha. So those are hers. Is there any historical fiction on your summer reading recommendations?
I can recommend a really terrific new novel that's coming out next month. It's called Warburg, W-A-R-B-U-R-G, it's a man's name, Warburg in Rome, by James Carroll, who is a former priest who's written extensively about the history of the church and the politics of the modern church, as well as a number of novels. And this is a novel set in Rome just as the Nazis have put the occupation behind them, and they're still fighting the war in the north of Europe. And Americans, this man Warburg, has come there at the behest of the American government to try to help bring Jews who are trapped in Eastern Europe to Western Europe and other parts of the world. And he's hooks up with a priest who's Cardinal Spellman's emissary to the Vatican, and the politics of World War II politics at work in the Vatican are dramatized very effectively. It's called Warburg in Rome. I mean, James Carroll knows his Vatican inside and out, and it's a kind of warts and all portrait of what was going on in the church as the Allies were fighting against the Nazis.
Yeah. Well, just a couple of minutes to go. We've talked about a lot of books this hour. Anything that's on your list of suggestions that we've missed?
Yes, actually, another historical novel that's coming out again next month, early July. It's called No Country, and it's written by a man named Kalyan Ray, R-A-Y, was born in Bangladesh, educated in India and America, kind of transcontinental guy who writes about several families from the early 19th century onward into the 20th century, some from Ireland, some in India, and eventually their descendants come to the U.S. and make a new life here. It's really a very, for your Follett fans, it's really quite a terrific book to pick up.
Yeah.
Set, as I say, in India, in Bangladesh, in Ireland during the potato famine, and early 20th century America.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for spending part of your holiday with us.
My pleasure, Joy.
Alan Shoes, NPR book reviewer and voice of books, a writing teacher at George Mason University, author of many novels and collections of short stories, including his most recent book, An Authentic Captain Marvel Ring, and other stories. Well, thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. In here with me on this Memorial Day. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your suggestions, too. Stay with us. We have our State Capitol Report coming up. We'll be talking about Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban and the uncertain future of that ban coming up in our State Capitol Report in our first half hour. Then after 7:30, we'll talk with a Wisconsin veteran who is not completely happy with Governor Scott Walker's record when it comes to veterans issues. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.